VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's a little after 10 o'clock, maybe not as much after as usual because of some little technical things, but whatever. Anyway, it can only mean one thing. That means that this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And Adam is joining us remotely, as you heard Howard say, from Arkansas, where I have some advice for every duck in Arkansas. You ready?
Okay.
Duck. How's that?
That's appropriate.
Thank you. This time of year apparently is a open season on those little boys down there. So Adam kind of has a ritual now of spending this time down there. But thanks to the magic of radio, it's no problem whatsoever. It is the last show of 2019. Believe it or not, 2020 is right around the corner. I remember where I was on Y2K night when things didn't fall apart as expected, but I don't think people ever got quite enough credit for the work that went into that. But that's another story, and it's now an old story, a couple decades old. Anyway, unlike most of the competition out there for talk radio in the financial field, we are live today. We have been live all the time. We have been doing this show now. In one more month, we will end our fifth complete year of doing the show live. We have missed exactly two shows being live, and both times we were forced out of town by the powers that be due to impending hurricanes, and the radio station went into hurricane mode. Other than that, we have never missed and don't intend to, and yes, we'll be back here just like before on the first Saturday in 2020. So, that being said, what can we say? Just all the regulars, thanks so much for being there always, now and always. We are very grateful for your continued listening because that's what keeps it going. If you're new and you're just finding the show for the first time, either by accident or on purpose, stick around. Like I said, nobody else is going to do it live, so if you want some up-to-date news, if you want to talk yourself, if you want to interfere with the topics at hand, and I mean that only in the kindest sense, all you got to do is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255. It's 222-TALK, and we will put callers to the head of the class immediately, regardless of how important our topics are to us. Yours are more important to us. Well, I have a long-standing tradition of trying to find a single word to describe the action that's going on in the investment markets these days. Today's word is the Beatles word. Why do we? Alan says, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he missed a little. It's the Beatles market because every week we're making new records. Oh, he liked that. And wow. This week was certainly no exception, was it, Adam?
No, it certainly was not. And we actually talked about something last week that came true this week. The NASDAQ crossed over 9,000, which is just a symbolic milestone. But it's really interesting, considering that at the beginning of this year, the NASDAQ was right around 6,600. Well, 36% or 2,400 points later, here we are at 9,000. It's been a really incredible year.
Yeah.
And the S&P is not that far behind, up just under 30%. The Dow is a little bit more subdued, but you really can't complain about being up 22% over the course of a year either. And the really amazing thing has been the shift in thinking. At this time last year, there was a large portion of America that thought we were headed right into a recession. I mean, there was doom and gloom everywhere except for one place. And that was right here. If you go back and pull up our podcast from December of last year, you will hear us saying that this market drop did not make any sense, that it is completely uncalled for and that it would turn around. And what do you know? We got something right.
We certainly did.
So this week we
added not surprised, by the way.
No, nor was I.
Relieved, yes. Surprised, no.
Absolutely. That was a very stressful quarter in the fourth quarter of last year. But, man, when it decided to pull out of it, it happened really fast.
And we're going to be talking a lot about RMDs, required minimum distributions, throughout the show today. And the one thing that we point out to clients this whole year is that last December was responsible for lowering your RMDs. So we should be grateful it happened then and turn around immediately because it kept the account values down on that only day of the year that matters for the RMD. Just a little aside, looking for the silver lining, of course, in every cloud.
Yeah, a lot of people were able to make returns greater than that of your RMD during this year. So if you took your RMD in December, there's a very good chance that your account value from last December to this December didn't really change that much, even though you were forced to withdraw some money.
That is true. And that is good, and that is fun. All those things.
Definitely.
A lot more on that today. So what's hot and what's not out there?
What's that?
I say, what's hot and what's not out there?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the gains that we saw this week. It was a short trading week because of the Christmas holiday. Trading was really calm, not a lot of movement in either direction, but all three indexes ended up between 0.5% and 1% higher. The fourth quarter has been pretty amazing. The NASDAQ has added more than 12% to its gains, the S&P about 10%, and the Dow sort of following that same trend has lagged a bit, but it's still up almost 8%. So really not a there isn't a bad place to be invested right at the moment.
Well, I think
the economic data...
We did something right last week, if you think back, when a caller called in and asked what we thought about where to put money, what sectors, and the first thing that came out was technology. That got shown to be correct this week.
Yep, no doubt about it. Technology has been on an absolute tear this year. It's up even more than the NASDAQ is as a sector, so I believe the gains are over 40% for the year.
Sweet.
Yep. Economic data this year has been a little bit all over the place. It's been very confusing in some areas, and it has added to the confusion for a lot of people about the state of the economy, which we think is very strong. But you could make a case based on some of the data that there are weak spots. There wasn't a ton of data this week, but on Monday we saw single-family home sales, and they increased by 1.3% in November. Slightly less than expected, but still a pretty strong number. Sales are now up almost 17% from a year ago. It's amazing what a little bit of drop in the interest rate will do.
Yeah.
We've said this before, but it looks like housing is on pretty firm footing heading into 2020. Sales are strong, and interest rates don't appear to be moving much at all. If at all, it's possible that the lack of inventory going forward could be the biggest issue, as new construction really hasn't kept up with demand in many parts of the country. Inventory is at 5.4 months right now nationally, which is down from previous months. It's not at an unhealthy level yet, but it's trending in that direction. So builders really need to increase their rate of building, which they have started doing. You're seeing it in the housing starts data over the last few months. The median price, this is just an interesting fact, the median price of new homes sold in November was $330,000, and that's up 7.2% from a year ago. So with numbers like that, there's no reason that builders shouldn't be increasing the amount that they're doing, and I hope that happens. We don't want to see another huge run-up in home prices all at once. I'd like the slower, steady increase that we've been seeing over the last year or 2 years. Another area of the economy that's remained strong throughout the past year is jobs. If you listen to the show, we talk about it all the time. But we did see a spike in the initial jobless claims a few weeks ago. I think that was related to the GM strike. Not 100% sure, but the timing certainly would indicate that. It actually spiked up to over 250,000. And then this week, we saw it kind of settle back down in the lower 220s, which is a good number. We talk about that number a lot, mostly because it is an excellent recession indicator. So if we were to see that number trend in the wrong direction, that would be something to keep an eye on, but that's not the case.
Yeah, the difficulty on that for the next few weeks is going to be the seasonal adjustment, because people take part-time jobs through the holiday season, and as soon as things start to settle back in, a lot of them are, they just walk away or they get laid off or whatever, depending on the company. And that has to be seasonally adjusted, as they are every month. So you might see some bouncing around in those numbers, I would think. But I don't think you'll see anything like a trend. All right, we've got to take a short break. I'll have a trivia question right after the break. So do not go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And Adam, as you probably heard, is in Arkansas, calling in remote. I presume he took all of his faculties with him, so don't hesitate to ask him questions either. All right, onward and upward. Congratulations to Sweden, of all places. They went from zerp to nerp. Got that one?
Okay. they went negative this week?
Nope, they went up to nerp.
Oh, they went
up. They went to zerp, from nerp. A negative interest rate policy of the last 5 years, which, let's see, it's described right here in this article as a failure. Who knew? Who knew that negative interest rates would fail? Oh, we did.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking.
So they went up to ZERP, now zero interest rate policy, and now they've announced that they're probably going to stay there for years. That's really what you want to do, isn't it? Just tell everybody exactly how stupid you are.
I recently attended a economic forum, and one of the guys was an expert in bonds, and we were talking about negative interest rate bonds and why anyone would buy them and hold them. And what I hadn't thought of this, but his answer was that a lot of government pensions and entities are actually required by their own charters to hold government debt. Mm-hmm. From the country that they're located in. And so by their own decree, they were forced to buy a product that took money from you every year instead of paying you money. What a great investment.
Fiduciary responsibility comes to mind. Don't know why.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to introduce the trivia question before I give it out. One of the things that has been most meaningful in the recent days, aside from the market records, the Congress actually, after they finally got done impeaching Trump after three and a half years or whatever, then they went on to some actual business and passed the trade agreement, the USMCA, thank you very much. It's been sitting on your desk for a year, and you finally got around to it, but hey, who am I to argue? But the other thing that happened was they spent money, and like that's some kind of a new thing, right?
Loads and loads of money.
Yeah. Rather than incur another shutdown, which Democrats say Republicans lost and Republicans say Democrats lost, when they know the truth is they all lost because it showed them to be the bunch of idiots that they truly are, because of they don't want to experience that again, basically. So they passed an extension of the spending bill to avoid the shutdown. But, you know, this is really hurting me, but I'm about to congratulate Mitch McConnell again. I've been doing that lately once in a while, and it scares me. But anyway, McConnell had announced, and I reported it on this show a few weeks ago, that they are still going to try to get the Secure Act. This is the retirement systems changes, which happens every few years. That they were trying to get that through, and it had passed the House 413, 16, whatever, to 3 or 4. But in the Senate, there was one little holdout, Patty Murray out of Washington, who's about as qualified as nobody. Anyway, she didn't like certain provision in it, so she was holding it out, and it wasn't going to get passed. And this is really important stuff, really important. So what McConnell said a few weeks ago was they're going to try to attach it to something at year end. And I wasn't sure what he was thinking, but you can bet this is exactly what he was thinking. So they tacked this onto the major spending bill, and it passed. And it is, for certain, as most big things are, a mixed bag. But it's not, you can't call it worse than it is better. In other words, it leans toward the good side, at least, and some of the things are really important. So congratulations to him and them for getting that through. The biggest single change that most people will see is the raising of the required minimum distribution date for retirement plans, which has gone from 70 and a half, which is a number that you probably never quite understood, and neither did I. Put it this way, it was a number that had to be negotiated in a smoky room somewhere because it was so stupid. Anyway, they raised it to 72. And that was probably the single most important thing that I was looking for. I was also looking at timing, but that's coming later in the show when I tell you about that. So anyway, we have the SECURE Act now, and it does affect a lot of your IRAs, 401ks, and pensions and all. So the question today is about that. When you turn 70 and a half, which is still the law for a few more days, when you turn 70 and a half and you are required to start taking money out, what percentage of Americans take out more money than they are required to take out? And this one, Adam missed this. I would have missed it. What percentage of Americans who are RMD age withdraw more than they have to? And that is sponsored, of course, by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 904-636-7888. All right, back to the whole SECURE Act thing in a moment. But first, in my search for intelligent life on the planet, which is ongoing and never really lets me down, headlines. Wednesday, a 10% correction could be coming in 2020, brought to you by those analysts of just immense stature at Wells Fargo Corporation. See, on average, Adam, how often does the market experience a 10% correction?
I believe there's one or two a year or something.
Yeah, the average is one plus a year, right? And okay, when was the last one we had?
That would have been December of last year, I believe.
So these brilliant people think there's a chance we'll have one in the next year. Isn't that amazing?
I mean, that's a pretty bold prediction.
Yeah, isn't it, though? Remember, last week, one of my headlines had to do with somebody telling us that Obama was going to get his last laugh on December 18th. And we waited until after the 18th to report on it. And guess what happened? It was not done. I have a caller, but just one second, please. I found on Friday the exact same article. The date has now been changed to January 20th, 2020. I got a kick out of that you wouldn't believe.
Well, eventually you might be right.
Yep. Good morning, Paul.
First of all, thank you for doing a live show this week, as you do every week. I just checked to hear what the other guy is doing. You won't believe this. They're playing Christmas music on the other station.
It's over another 364 days.
Well, while they're still rocking around the Christmas tree, you guys are talking the stock market and business and relevant items. But anyway, I'm going to take a guess on your trivia question there. What percentage of Americans take out more than they have to for the minimum distribution? I'm going to say 72%.
Wow. That's a big number.
Yeah.
If only it were big enough.
Yeah, because I figure most people have no idea what they're doing anyway.
Your logic is obviously correct, because the answer is even higher than that.
Wow.
Yeah. Kind of scary, isn't it?
Okay. You said that under the new law, the age would go from 70 and a half. Did I hear you correctly? You said 72?
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay.
Takes effect in 2021.
And that takes effect January 1st?
A year from January 1st, this starts.
Okay.
Nothing hits till 2021, but then there's some real complexities in this thing, and I'm learning them. I got a lot of it down pretty well that I'll talk about in the second half of the show, but that's where we're going at this point. And even though it's a smaller percentage of people than it should be, it will help the people to whom it matters.
Was there anything in the new law about penalties for early withdrawals?
No, almost nothing.
No.
There are a couple of real obscure circumstances where, for instance, the adoption rules, you can pull 5,000 out for adoption or birth in your lifetime now, and that 5,000 avoids the penalty. So it's very specific things that impact a very small minority of people. And other than that, the mainstream things are what I'll cover.
Happy New Year. I'll talk to you next year.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you, and Happy New Year. I've got Marshall on. I've got a minute. I'm going to take it, and then hopefully he can meet us on the other side. Good morning, Marshall.
I thought the music trivia was going to be help.
Well, it could be for some people.
Well,
I'm not going to go there.
Y'all could use that as a theme song.
Yeah, we could. Actually, right now, money sounds pretty good.
Okay. Can I take a quick guess?
Of course you can.
50%?
All right, 72 was low. I'll give you another shot just because you missed that part.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you were more in the range that Adam was in when he guessed it.
84?
That was right around what I guessed.
All right, 84, says Marshall. You're just on the high side now. So we can't take it. But I appreciate the call. So what's happening with you?
For you on the other side.
Good. Would you have a good Christmas?
Oh, excellent.
Wonderful. Looking forward to a kickoff of a new year pretty soon, right?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a legacy question about the IRA money and how that is affected by the...
Can we take it right after the break?
Yeah.
I've only got a few seconds, so if we put you on hold, we'll do it. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, folks, we have a bracket. It is higher than 72, and it is lower than 84. And again, as I always try to make a point with these things, these things are supposed to last you the rest of your life. The government makes you take some. Don't take more than that unless you absolutely have to. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Vanway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanway.
And I'm Adam Vanway.
And Adam joins us, as we said, from Arkansas this week, where no duck is safe. And according to the little chat we had a minute ago, that's as true as it usually is. Things are good.
Yeah, even more so this year.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah. Is that the old shoot, Luke, the air's full of ducks? That line?
Something like that.
Okay, I'm going to resume with Marshall and after I remind everybody that lines are open, 904-222-8255.
Adam, did you take your Jeff Foxworthy dictionary with you so you make sure you understand what everybody's saying out there?
No, Marshall, he doesn't have to. He is a redneck.
I'm sure it's a gorgeous place to be at this time of year.
It is. It's really beautiful. Okay, so you should see what I'm looking at right now.
That's great. So my question is this. I read through a piece that I've seen from a CPA track on the SECURE Act. And I understand the part about, okay, we're going to be pushing back to the 72. But I was trying to grasp something. It appears as though, and I understand, when a spouse inherits their spouse's IRA, it just carries on to their calculation for RMD. But when it goes to your child, when there's neither you nor your spouse is left, they now have a 10-year RMD, is that what it is?
If you mean by now, starting Wednesday, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that it's for deaths in the up to and including the end of the year 2019, and then the new rules take place for deaths starting January 1 of 2020.
Marshall, this is the one real downside of this act. And It's not going to affect a huge amount of people, but there will be circumstances where this 10-year rule replaces the stretch rule, and it could be considered a negative. So, as my dad mentioned earlier, there's give and take with this bill, and this is definitely the part that we give. And the good news is that the positives of the bill affect a lot more people than this negative portion.
Yeah, and
well, look, I can tell you right now, your numbers on your poll, wherever it finally ends up, is one key indication of people are not working long enough.
Isn't that the truth?
I mean, if it's a second career that they really have fun doing, that's where people are making so many mistakes. And being able to take that into that longer time window and wait before you start taking things out, that helps everything. And hey, if the kids have to pay a little bit, I mean, if you get a dollar and you got to pay 25 cents of it, you got a dollar.
Right. It's just inarguable. The timing of those withdrawals can be very inconvenient. Mm-hmm. If it happens that you're in your peak earning years and you inherit an IRA and you have to take it out in those years, you're going to pay taxes on it at a much higher bracket than if you could stretch it out over your lifetime. So that's the real problem.
I understand
that. That your marginal tax rate it could be disadvantageous to take the money out when you're forced to do so now.
And let's go back to something you alluded to, Marshall. I was asked in the office this week if the rules for the spouse had succumbed to the new law, and the answer to that is absolutely not. The surviving spouse is able to absorb that IRA as his or her own if he or she wants to, because there are circumstances where you don't want to leave it as your own. You want to leave it as an inherited IRA for a while and then turn it over. And it has to do with the penalties for early withdrawal, which is, of course, related to the age of the spouse. But just generalizing the thing, spouses are still the special people they always have been, except they'll have to take out less now under the new withdrawal rates. That's a good thing. And everybody else. But think about one thing. If you didn't take a required minimum distribution from an inherited IRA in the year after death, you are automatically subjected to the five-year rule, which means the whole account had to be drained in 5 years.
That's right.
But under this one, whether or not you take any out in year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 matters not one lick. So you can delay the whole darn thing into year 10, and it has all those years to grow inside. That's a lot of give back if you are investing it well. So the impact of this thing to the average person, I think, is small enough that the trade was well worthwhile.
My attitude. Does the QLAC do anything to help that?
It depends. The QLAC, and what he means is qualified longevity annuity contract. The QLAC is a device you can buy inside a retirement plan that takes it outside of that account, and it sits until a designated day that you want to start draining it, which can be no later than your age 85. So if you turn 72 and you do not want to take any more out, you can buy a QLAC that'll shelve that portion of it until whatever age you want. And then the only downside of those things is they have to be annuitized. You can't just get your $250,000 back. That doesn't work that way, $125,000 or whatever. It is an annuity product only. And inside there, you're going to be paying for a life insurance product, which will give your beneficiaries back any unused or unpaid out premium. But yes, it can help you. If it means a difference in your tax bracket, which might mean a big difference in your Medicare cost, it's a big deal.
It's something, I think that's called planning, isn't it?
It's called financial planning, comprehensive version.
I go back to the Beatles song.
Help.
Thank you, sir.
I love it, Marshall. Happy New Year. Thanks for the call. Lines are open, 904-222-TALK. Also, the trivia question has been bracketed now. How many people, upon turning RMD age, withdraw more than they absolutely have to from their retirement accounts? And we know that 72% is too low, and we know that 84% is too high. All right, I want to wrap a couple more headlines and then get into some more nitty-gritty on the Secure Act. On Saturday this morning, I looked through Finance, of course, and Yahoo Finance, just see if they have anything nice to say. After all, we set all kinds of new records and such. But, of course, they can't help themselves. So if you get onto the ninth one, they finally talked about a little bit. S&P price forecast. Stock markets slump after initially rally. That is a quote. After initially rally. Very carefully prepared headline, right?
Yeah. What are they talking about? Is that a forecast?
That's a forecast from them. The S&P 500 price forecast. Stock market slump after initially rally. But the brilliance is just hard to wade through, isn't it? And then on the 11th headline said, it actually linked to our old buddies at MarketWatch. And it said, Fed study finds Trump tariffs backfired. And I'm going to explain that after we talk to. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, gentlemen. Live, no jive.
You got it.
Apex of the Great Pyramid, Giza. Can I take a guess on that burn time?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, I consulted my canine tax advisor.
Huh?
78.
A little low.
But 0.5 wouldn't have helped me, would it?
That bracketry thing is really firming up.
Well, I extrapolated and divided by, half. You know what I'm saying.
Well, put it this way, for a sleight of brain mathematics, especially for a dog, it was
not
pretty
bad,
close.
Huh? Not bad. Not bad in between flea scratches. Okay, I appreciate it, gentlemen.
Couldn't have been a Labrador. That's all I can say.
Appreciate y'all being live.
Thank you so much.
Can I spell a word for you?
Of course.
Real quick. Politics. Politics.
Politics.
Cut that blood.
Mini ticks. I love it.
Bye.
All right, we've got 1 minute, so I'll explain a little bit what was jacking my jaws about this, and then we'll come back and get into the Secure Act. Back to the headline, which was actually from MarketWatch. Fed study finds Trump tariffs backfire. So I had to read that one because I can't see anything that's sputtering or backfiring, and maybe somebody else can. So I pulled the right out of the middle of it, what I consider the big paragraph. While the longer-term effects of the tariffs may differ from those we estimate here, the results indicate that the tariffs thus far have not led to increased activity in the U.S. manufacturing sector, the study said. Now, that's brilliant. They must not listen to this show very much. All I can say. All right, we're going to have to take one more break, and then we'll get back and we'll get into some of the real highlights of the Secure Act, which I think you'll pretty much like. Don't go anywhere. Be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have the trivia question still outstanding. If you want to take a shot at it, here at 904-222-8255. And it says that over 78% of Americans who have to take RMDs take out more than they need, but it's less than 84. That's the bracket we've been given by the callers today. Also, this segment sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 662-9794. Okay, the Secure Act. Every few years, Congress does something in the pension arena. You probably remember the Pension Protection Act that under George W. Bush, the PPA, that passed in 06, and it did a lot to shore up some badly needed pension funding, because despite ERISA and everything that followed it, pensions were still being dramatically underfunded. Don't look any further than the city of Jacksonville if you want to find out how bad that really is. You can pass laws all you want. Get compliance, that's another story, but I digress. Before the PPA, under President Clinton, they passed the Taxpayer Relief Act, or TRA, of 1997, which gave us what I consider the most user-friendly financial thing ever granted by Congress. Remember the old days, your parents, they had to pick one time in their lives if they were going to sell a residence to say, okay, this is the time I'm going to defer my gain, take my one-time exclusion, they wouldn't have to pay taxes on it, and it was $125,000. And for a long time, that stood exactly like it was, but it was changed in 1997, although it took people till about 2005 to understand that it had changed. But again, I digress. Now, if it's your primary residence, and there have been some changes in it, but fundamentally, if you've been there for a while and haven't done this often, you can keep $250,000 of profit on your house individually, or $500,000 as a couple, and you do not have to pay any taxes. You don't even have to bother reporting it. And that, to me, I have said it over and over and over, including on this show, that Congress couldn't possibly have read that law before they signed it, because they would never give us anything that good. But now that
one of the very few free, yep, tax-free money you, yep, will ever receive in your life.
Yeah, and don't think they aren't sitting around complaining about this and looking for a way around it either, but so far, so good. Anyway, this one had a lot to do with the use of annuities. It was actually pushed by the insurance industry and pushed hard. And every time they got it going, it got tabled. But finally, again, as I said earlier, McConnell tried to attach it to something, and he did it. So we got it through. Now, I have a mixed relationship with annuities, as most people do. I think too many of them are sold, and too many of them are sold for the wrong reasons. They are, however, vitally important to some people who do not have lifetime income. If you need lifetime income and you're not being fully taken care of by your private pensions, government pensions, Social Security, and all that, then the thing you do is you buy a life annuity on yourself and take it away. Well, that's been real easy over the years in an IRA. You just buy it. It's titled right inside the IRA, and that's that. But it was always tougher in an ERISA plan. And ERISA plans are things like 401ks, 403bs that are subject to all the rules of ERISA. This loosens some of those rules, especially in the arena of multi-employer plans. And that's getting so in the weeds that we're not going there. But anyway, that's why it passed and who pushed it through. So what did it do? Well, it does allow you to commingle an annuity inside your ERISA plan or your IRA. And you can do that without the necessity of a rollover. That's a pro, I guess. A con would be that not performing a rollover to the IRA continues to limit your choices and keeps your costs relatively high, because ERISA plans like 401ks are more costly to administer. Another pro, annuities are the only financial product that can guarantee the income for life. The con is that most people don't understand how much guaranteed income for life they actually have, so they tend to get sort of sold on the concept of more than you actually need, which limits your investment choices. Another pro, Social Security will seldom provide sufficient lifetime income, whereas an annuity will furnish lifetime income for anyone. Con, anyone with an IRA can already do this. So did we need it to be more flexible? I don't know. It's not a big deal to me, truly. Another pro, annuities transfer the risk of running out of money. They transfer it from you or your employer to a large annuity company. This is where I think we do make some sense, because the employer was responsible for the annuities fundamentally picking the right companies and so on. And I think that's a little egregious myself. I think that the annuity companies ought to take more of their own, take more on their own risk. And if you want to know how good your company is, there's a scale called the Comdex scale, which is available. You can link to it from the standtheannuityman.com website. Don't ever get anything under a 50 Comdex, and start in the 90s when you're selecting a company, and you'll be fine. Other provisions that are significant. First, repeal of the age limits for traditional IRA contributions. More and more people are working after age 70 and a half, which is changing now, of course, to age 72. And I think that trend is here to continue. And you may not be doing the same career you've always had, but a lot of people take on part-time work or something just to limit their withdrawals from what they have already, to get out in public, keep their skills sharp for whatever reason, sociable or financial or whatever. And now you can continue to make traditional IRA contributions from your earnings. You still have to have earned income, but you can make those. So you might be contributing and withdrawing at the same time, which was never legal, but it is now. Isn't that wonderful? Next one, required minimum distribution age. Owners of the traditional IRAs knew they had to start taking it out at 70 and a half, but that's rolling over by 2021 to age 72. And with it is the change in the life expectancy table, which makes you take out a little less each year. This is going to lengthen the longevity of your retirement account, and it's a good thing. We talked about the loss of the stretch provision. That's the somewhat negative. Smaller RMDs are due to those tables for the life expectancy. That's a good thing. Retroactive application for the withdrawals. There are formulas now where if you've been taking RMDs for a while, you're going to switch over to these new tables and they'll be smaller. And that even includes inherited IRAs. There's a special provision to go back and do those, which is, I think, very interesting also. Qualified charitable distributions for people 70 and a half, that has not changed. You can still do them at 70 and a half, but you don't have to take your RMD. But if you are charitably minded anyway or are trying to get the balance down, the qualified charitable distribution is alive and well, even during that 18-month reprieve where you didn't have to take the money. Kitty taxes reverted back to their old level. I don't know how many people knew this because it isn't a real big issue with our clientele, but the kitty tax rates were, in the previous law, were jacked up to the trust rates. Trust rates get to their maximum 37% at some ridiculous income level like $12,750. Well, that's back to the parents' level now, and that makes much more sense. But how many of you have ever felt discrimination against the year you were born? For instance, back in 1983, when Social Security was changed, people born in 43 to 54 all of a sudden bumped up from 65 to 66. People from 1954 had their full retirement ages increased gradually up until it became age 67. And that was all nothing more than the date of your birth. People after 1954 lost the provision of going onto your spouse's benefit without hurting yours at all. It was called either piggybacking or restricted filing or something like that. Well, if you were born in 54, go ahead and do it. If you're born in 55, oh, sorry, tough. Well, I got them back on my side, and I'm proud of this because you've heard me complain about it. If you were born in 1950, and I was, we snuck in under the new rules. We are now able to postpone till 72. I worried about it, but when you think about it, our distribution date wasn't really till March 31st of the year we were 72. It hit. I got it. I'm so happy, and I'm not even ashamed to tell you all that. Plus, we have a lot of clients born in 1950, a lot of friends born in 1950. We won one, folks. Gotta love it. All right, we'll be back next week. Happy New Year to everybody. Adam, thanks for getting in here. The quality was good, and I hope you have a wonderful trip. Be careful, all that stuff. Everybody else, you have a prosperous and safe New Year, and we'll see you on the other side next week. You've been listening to the Ben Wee Financial Hour. Happy New Year!